It's good to be here tonight as we come to study God's Word just a little bit more. I do want to direct our attention to the book of Job. We're going to be looking at the very first verse. And as you're turning there, I want us to take this thought in mind. Blameless. What does that mean? What does it mean to be blameless? We've always lived in a society where people do not believe that others can be blameless. You look at a good working definition of blameless is one who is innocent of a charge. We think about this particular word blameless, and it is often translated perfect, upright, even undefiled. It's a powerful word. It's a positive word. And when we consider this particular word blameless, many get concerned when you use this word blameless. The reason why they get concerned is because they believe that you're teetering on the edge of being sinless, perfect. Friends, I venture to say that Job, in Job 9, verse 20, he said himself, "Though I was righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I was blameless, I would prove myself perverse." In essence, Job was saying that if I was to say I was sinless, I would make myself perverse. But we know for a fact that one can be blameless. Why? Because God himself called a man blameless. He called him upright. In the book of Job, chapter 1 and verse number 1, I told y'all to turn there. I haven't even turned there myself. In Job 1, in verse number 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was, the King James Version says, perfect. When you consider this particular word in italics, they have the word blameless and upright and one that reverenced God and shunned evil, eschewed evil. I was watching a television show the other day, and on this television show is actually a sports broadcast, and on that sports broadcast one of the broadcasters was highly upset with a National Football League player. I refrain to give his name because even though allegations are out on him, he has not been proven guilty of such. However, this is like his third or fourth occasion of something that he has done that was not smart. Anyway, this particular broadcaster said, you know, in 2010, I found myself in a similar situation. And I told myself that I would not put myself in that situation again. He stays far away from those type of situations. As a matter of fact, if it looks like the situation is approaching him, he would get as far away from it as he possibly could. And as I was looking at that and listening to it, I had to pause it and I said, wow, you know, that's the way we ought to be as Christians. That when we see evil coming, or maybe a situation that has some type of evil in it, we ought to be running from it. I thought about this word blameless, because I've been thinking about it all week. This particular man that God called blameless, Job, you look at this particular word in the Hebrew and it's very rich. This word here literally means to be complete, sound, wholesome, morally innocent, having integrity, ethically pure. Those are good definitions, right? Those are definitions that every Christian, those of us who are striving to be what God desires for us to be, we ought to be striving for those particular marks in our lives. In Psalm 37, turn your Bibles there, and we're going to be looking at this particular word, blameless. And I'm not going to give you the Hebrew words for it, because that's not going to be advantageous for us tonight. However, I am going to be showing you some places in which this particular word is used. And it is good for us to know these words and know these passages, just to give you a few. In Psalm 37, in verse number 37, here the psalmist David had something to say. He says, "Mark the perfect man," there's our word perfect, "and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
There's two words I want us to look at. Number one, the first word, mark. Take notice. Spy him out. Keep your eyes on him. Why? That's the man that you want to be looking at. That's the man you want to imitate. That's the man you want to sound like and speak like. But notice the second word, perfect. It's the same word that we find with Job. Mark that man. Put your eye on that man. It's interesting that at times when people have their eyes on you, usually it's because you've done something wrong. In Proverbs 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees it all. God sees the good that we do. Hebrews 6 and verse number 10. As a matter of fact, he's not unrighteous to see the good that we're doing. Isn't that a beautiful thing, knowing that we're doing good and God sees it? I remember an old preacher one time, and of course this was probably in the late 90s, early 2000s, and they would use illustrations like this because the older generation would do this. If you saw an older lady and she was on one side of the street and she needed help on the other side of the street, and you was to help that individual, you know God saw you help that old lady across the street. You know, we're so much in a rush, we're not helping old people across the street anymore, right? Or maybe it's so hot that old people are not even outside on the street. It could be either one. Y'all smile. Come on now. Lighten up. It's Sunday evening. You came here. Relax a little bit. You think about that. But God saw that, but he also sees the evil. Here, the upright man, the moral man, the wholesome man, the sound man, the complete man, the ethically pure man is seen and taken notice of. And friends, we ought to take notice of those type of people as well. The blameless man lives a life of peace. Sounds like a man who is faithful, fruitful, fixated on the goal of spirituality. And friends, that ought to be our goal as well. Look at Proverbs 29. In Proverbs 29, in verse number 10, Solomon has something to say about this as well. In Proverbs 29, in verse number 10, it's not always that good for the blameless man, the moral man, the upright man, the sound man. In Proverbs 29 and verse number 10, take notice. The bloodthirsty hate the upright. There's our word, blameless. The bloodthirsty. You know, sometimes we think, I'm doing what God desires for me to do. I'm being upright. I'm taking care of my family. I'm trying to love. I'm trying to be kind and careful. And I got these people who are hating me for it. You know, they hated the Lord for the good that he did. Are we better than he? The answer is no. But notice the verse again. Proverbs 29 and verse 10. The bloodthirsty. It didn't say dislike. It didn't say he was unkind. He said he hate. That's a strong word, right? He hate the upright. Friends, sometimes when we're standing up for what is right, when we're living the blameless life, a wholesome life, a controlled life, complete life, there are going to be some people that might not like us. You know, we ought to make up our minds that that's okay. You know, I had to make up my mind a few days ago. Like, you know what? Men are going to be men. Just, it's the way it is. Because I'm a man. You know, we come across people who are not all that consistent, right? Friends, you have to make up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord. Regardless. You want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, I make you ruler over many. Enter the joys of thy Lord. Those are the words you want to hear. At times, you living an upright life may bring persecution. May have people to talk bad about you, your family, and everything else that is associated with you. As gospel teachers and preachers, elders in the Lord's church, deacons, and we'll talk about them here in a few minutes, we have to make up our minds that we're going to stand up for the gospel regardless of who likes it or not. To be blameless. Our lives are associated with the gospel that we teach, preach, and live. Here, we see that the bloodthirsty hates the upright, but notice, but the just seeks his soul. He seeks his good. Friends, there are benefits to being upright. There are benefits to being complete, whole, and only God can make us whole. Notice Proverbs 11 and verse number 20. In Proverbs 11 and verse number 20, there's more exhortation, more encouragement for the upright, for the one that's striving to be whole, complete. Very few people are whole and complete. They're always searching and seeking after something that's going to make them whole. Jesus said, Paul said, you're complete in him. We're complete in Christ. But notice Proverbs 11 and look at verse number 20. A very, very comforting passage. They that are froward are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. But notice this. But such as are upright, there's our word right there, in their way are what? They're his delight. The upright are God's delight. Which means, friends, that in being upright, I am trying to be a man or a woman of integrity. I'm trying to do that which is right regardless of who's watching. If someone, the clerk, was to give me more change than what I'm supposed to have, I'm going to take her back, that change. Why? It's important. I'm upright. I'm moral. Well, when one is upright and blameless, a charge cannot be stuck to him. Jesus. Let's go to the New Testament. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12, Jesus would take this same concept because there were some religious leaders at this particular time that wanted to condemn the blameless. Notice in Matthew chapter 12, verse 5 through verse 7. The last thing that we want to be is on the side of condemning the blameless. Let's start at verse number 1. Let's catch some of the context. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. His disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. They're condemning. They're accusing. But he said unto them, have you not read? That's usually when people get in trouble, Brother Rick, because they haven't read. Have you not read? And Jesus would often say, have you not read? Have you not read what David did when he was hungered? And they that were with him, how they entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priests were in the temple, profaned the Sabbath, and are blameless? Now, if the Lord says that those individuals that did that are blameless, who are we to say that they are guilty? That's a good question, Prince. You know what? And I've been thinking about this as well. See, y'all think because I'm going to camp, I was going to give y'all a sermon that. No, I'm not leaving till about 7 or 8. I want to be cool when I drive. Just think about this. There are people that are willing to blame you for something that you know is not wrong. Here, if God says it's right, regardless what an individual says, doesn't matter. But the opposite is just as true. Friends, and I'm going to bring this out on a Sunday morning eventually, but friends, there is truth. There is truth in the scriptures. We're living in a time, even in the Lord's church today, where individuals, gospel teachers and preachers are basically espousing that there is no truth. You can look at this passage this way, and I can look at it this way, and he can look at it this way, and she can look at it this way, and it's the same passage, and it doesn't matter. All of us are right, friends. That's not blameless. Somebody's guilty. But that's where we're living today. Here, these individuals were casting blame upon the David. And notice what he says in verse 6 and 7. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Talking about himself. But if you had known what this mean, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. There's a word right there. Friends, I have a little question in my notes. I ask, is this possible? Is it possible to even be guiltless? Is it possible to be blameless? Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Let's prove this. Let's see if it is even possible to be guiltless, to be blameless. In Luke chapter 1, we come across Zacharias and his wife. These are John the Immerser, John the Baptist, his parents. Let's start at verse number 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous. Now notice this word, friends, and notice this idea, this concept that Luke is bringing out about Zacharias and Elizabeth. That they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Hold on. If a person is going to be righteous, if a person is going to be blameless, they got to be walking in all of the commandments and ordinances, not the ones that they pick and choose. That's a great point. You know, we have, I remember back in the day when we was kids, mom and dad, we didn't go out to eat much. We just didn't do it. That's just something that you just didn't do back in the day. And we go out to eat all the time, it seems like now, but back then you didn't. Well, every now and then we would go to Luby's. Man, Luby's. You know, and you would get your tray and you get your utensils and they wrap it. You know what I'm talking about. And you get one meat and you get a couple of vegetables and then you can get some sweets and then you can get whatever drink you want. We can pick and choose what we want. You know what God's word? You can't pick and choose what you want. If we're going to be righteous, if we're going to be blameless, we got to do it all. We got to do all of what he says. Which makes sense, because it is possible that a person can be righteous and blameless and they go hand in hand. And the question we have to ask ourselves is this: can we do this? Well, this is under the Mosaic system. Well, let's go to the Christian dispensation. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. And let's look at chapter 2 in verse number 15. This was Paul's encouragement to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi was a great church. As a matter of fact, they loved the Apostle Paul. They supported the Apostle Paul. When the church at Corinth didn't want to support him, they did. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 15, notice the exhortation that Paul gives to the church at Philippi after he said, do all things without murmuring and complaining. Why? In order that you may be blameless. That people won't bring a charge against you of being a complainer. And notice, and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Here it is. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. The question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want to be like this? Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 13, the Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica. He's encouraging these brethren. Paul did a lot of encouraging. You know what? That's what we ought to do. It's an encouragement to see this number back here on tonight. We ought to continue to do that. To continue to come and hear what thus saith the Lord, that we can be the blameless people that God desires for us to be too. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 13, notice what the Apostle Paul here says. He says, to the end, he may establish you, strengthen you, strengthen your heart. How? Unblameable. In holiness before God, even our Father, when? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Friends, this is the purpose of Christianity as well, that we may get that encouragement that we need to live an innocent life. Is it possible for me to be innocent? The answer is yes. We can be innocent. How? Through the proper training. What does that mean? Turn your Bibles to 1 John 1, verses 7 through 9. In 1 John 1, 7 through 9, Rick, go with me in this train of thinking. Because it's a powerful train of thinking, which means that if I'm going to be blameless, it's not going to happen by happenstance. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen by some pill or some drink. It's going to happen through training. It's going to happen through me looking at what the light is, making my mind to walk in that light, making my mind to be humble, verse 8, and making up my mind that when I make a mistake, verse 9, that I make it right. That's blameless. That's so when a person says, hey, you did such and such on such, such a day. You know what? I stood before the congregation of the Lord's people and I told them that I messed up and I got that right before God and you can't bring that against me and no one else can. I'm blameless. And sometimes what we do, and I believe many are taking pills today because number one, either they need to repent or they have repented and they haven't let it go. If I'm blameless, let it go. Move on. Well, Brother Bonner, it's not that easy.
I usually tell people this. You don't have to agree with it, but this is what I tell people. You're either going to release yourself today or in 10 years. But you need to release yourself. If you have repented and confessed, you need to let it go.
Isn't it amazing that when I ask God to forgive me, he's faithful and just to forgive. He lets me go. That's an interesting concept. Why do I hold on to something that God says I let go? And we do it all of the time. And we allow other people that when we're walking in a blameless state, they want to hold us guilty. If a person commits a crime and they've done their time and they have served the community in the way that they're supposed to have served, who are we to hold it against them? That's the same thing that if I go to God and I ask him to forgive me of my faults and forgive me of my trespasses, forgive me of my sins, I am then blameless before God. I'm innocent. I'm innocent. The last thing you need is a spouse that's always telling you what you did and you already said you're sorry.
Y'all looking funny, but it's still true. That's the last thing you need. Let me go ahead and say this. If they're doing that before you get married, you might as well cut that off. Because they're going to do it when you get married. Which means that they probably don't understand forgiveness. To be blameless means that I am innocent of it because I have taken care of whatever I needed to take care of in order to be in a right state with the one in whom I'm with. And that's God, but also man. So let me give you a couple passages. When you consider this blameless man, this blameless woman, just a couple of passages. The qualifications of an elder in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 7. You know, he's to be blameless. That when a charge is brought up against him, that that charge must be able to stick. If the charge cannot stick because number one, either he did it and took care of it or he didn't do it because there's no evidence against him, then he is free. You know, it's the same thing with deacons in 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 10. And also with widows in 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 7. And of course, we already looked at Philippians 2 and verse 15. You know, that covers the whole congregation. That everybody is supposed to be blameless. Friends, this is a doctrine in the Bible. That if a person is not blameless, there are some things that must be taken care of. There are some things that must be fixed. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I have one more passage or two, three maybe, and I'll let you go. Here we have the end of world in sight. We have the coming of Christ. We have the destruction of the earth, if you will. And notice what he says in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 14. He says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent in order that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Hold on.
God, are you telling me that it's possible for me to be innocent before you? It's possible. Which requires me to be training my mind, training my will, training my soul to be innocent. And friends, when our conscience bothers us, that's a great thing. The day will come when your conscience will not bother you. You'll be in the grave. But your conscience, if it's being pricked, then you ought to do something about it. If your conscience is free, you ought to be praising God. But you only should be praising God because your conscience is free based upon the Word, not based upon a seared heart. Now, that's a great point. We got to keep that in mind. So I'll leave you with this. As we walk in the light, let's learn to rid sin and the mistakes that we make as they occur. Let's encourage others to do likewise. Let's strengthen our moral character and resolve that others may glorify God and seek to be pleasing unto God like we are. Let's be mindful that Jesus showed us the way, but he left us examples of uprightness in men like David, Job, Enoch, and women like Rahab, Mary, and Elizabeth. Isn't that beautiful? That God left us examples of moral uprightness, individuals that were innocent. And I'll leave you with these. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. There is no 1 Thessalonians chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 13 and 14. The blameless life is the life that we desire to live. As I close, Paul says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, talking about the souls of men. He makes them alive. And before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, I am king, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, there's our word right there, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, what are you telling Timothy to tell the brethren at Ephesus? That you keep on keeping on until Jesus comes back. You don't stop. And friends, we need to encourage one another. As a matter of fact, I want us this week, if you remember, find someone to encourage this week to keep on keeping on. Because you never know, that phone call, that text message, that email might be what they need to keep on going. To keep going. That they may be innocent. Because there are no guilty people that are going to be with God. Only those who are innocent. A charge may come our way. But praise be to God, we beat the charge. We got Jesus. We have the blood. We beat the case. And friends, we need to beat the case. But the only way we can do that is to be right with the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll give the invitation. Great God and Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the teaching of blameless and being upright, being whole and complete. Father, help us to be those type of people. We pray to Father that we don't shirk our responsibility just being Christians, striving to do that which is right, that when we make a mistake, when we sin, when we say something that we shouldn't say, think something that we shouldn't think, that we train ourselves to just make it right immediately, which will take away the guilt and the pain and the agony of being separated from you and from those whom we love and even our enemies. But help us to always realize, Father, that you are God and besides you there is none other. We love you, Father. We ask that you forgive us when we fall short and help us to be a people who are always striving to help others to be blameless by teaching them the gospel. helping them, dear Father, to come to the knowledge of the truth. But we know that we have to know it ourselves first. And Father, we're thankful for what your Son said, because there is truth, and that truth sets us free. Help us to know that truth, that we may be blameless before thee, that we may keep thy commandments and ordinances, that we may be free. Father, thank you for him. And thank you for his blood, and thank you for the church. And thank you for the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want to encourage you to consider being blameless. Maybe you have guilt on your conscience because you have sinned. You have done things wrong. You've been doing things wrong. Friends, we never want to take that for granted. And as the Church of Christ here at 9th and Main, we want to always extend that welcome, extend that plan of salvation that is able to help us, to set us free. How? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. God will wash away your sins through the blood of his Son. He will clear your conscience. And when your conscience is cleansed from dead works, now you're able to serve the living God in that order. We have too many who are teaching that you can serve God with a guilty conscience, not being innocent. Friends, the Bible doesn't teach that. Bible teaches that you have to be innocent before you can come before God in service, because that's the way he set it up. But maybe you're a child of God and you're not innocent. Maybe you're playing with your innocency. Don't play with it. Be innocent. Do what God desires, that we may live with God throughout eternity as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.